Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary Show. Inspiring stories that change lives. Where ordinary heroes tell their extraordinary stories of how they have triumphed over unexpected challenges. This is where we say what can't be said and use the AAA formula for freedom. Awareness, acceptance, and action. Now, here's your host, Hillary Burns.
So welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show, sponsored by Kikori, who you will hear from, I'll call it at intermission. And today I am thrilled to be here with Katie Basso, who is a professor of counseling and a licensed mental health counselor in the state of Florida. She's also written a book called With Me All Along. And welcome, Katie. Is there anything else you'd like to say in introducing yourself?
Thank you so much, Hillary. Thanks for having me in the introduction. And I think you covered most of it.
I said I was going to let her introduce herself and then I got carried away. So so things change, right? Things change. Okay. So when we were talking before, you said that really your, I don't know if you'd call it adventure, but your story started when you were in college. Mm-hmm. Would you like to tell us? I read a little bit about it in the book, but would you like to tell us about what happened and how you got to where you're at?
Absolutely. I would say the time between I was about 18 to maybe 23 or so were some very, very critical years for me in my life and is where a big part of my story is. When I was in college, I started noticing some subtle health symptoms and some different types of immune issues, getting sick a lot, lots of viral infections, lots of bacterial infections, and really started feeling my body wear down, felt some anxiety creep up, had some very difficult times in class focusing, reading, and completing assignments. It just took me a long time, and sleep issues, all of that stuff. And so that's a big part of where my journey started towards better health and overcoming. To make a long story short, as I was having these immune complications and I was taking lots of medications like antivirals, antibiotics, I ended up having actually a reaction, a very severe reaction to one of the medications that essentially made my immune system even more hyper aware and ended up having lots of food allergies. So that was a big part of my journey, was overcoming all of those things, the fatigue and the brain issues and the immune issues. The second—
Wait, Katie, how much of it, like, you already didn't feel well. Was it a substantially, like, I mean, it was a lot worse once you had the reaction to the medication. So are you now dealing with the reaction instead of the underlying, or you're now dealing with both?
Once the reaction happened, it was just even more so horrible and hard to deal with because, like, as you're alluding to, I was dealing with the health issues prior to the reaction and then the compounding.
Wow. Okay.
All the reactions.
Keep going. Yeah. Okay.
And so that was a big part of my journey overcoming that. And then another very huge piece of my story regarding the book, besides overcoming that, was I lost my brother when I was 23 years old. He was 28 and he was actually killed. He was shot and killed. He was simply getting out of his car, going up to his apartment one night after dinner. And so that was, he was a very close, very, very close friend of mine, not just a sibling. And so those two things kind of interwove together and created a lot of suffering.
Wait, can we go back a second?
We can go right back.
Yeah.
Sure.
Who shot? I mean, why was he shot? Was it an accident? Like, What was, can you just say, because
Absolutely.
I'm back there with him. I just want to,
Yes.
in case other people are wondering, yeah, if you could just tell us about that, if you don't mind.
Would love to clarify and give more
Okay.
context to
Okay.
that. It was an attempted robbery, essentially. It was potentially a gang. Not a lot of people are there to witness it, so it's still not totally clear, which of course adds to the trauma that there's not a lot of clarity around the incident for me and for my family, just not knowing 100%, but that it was an attempted robbery, that there was an investigation. I did find out that was part
Of
of it.
him, they were trying to rob him.
Yes.
Okay. So he wasn't like in the middle of something. They were actually trying to rob him. Okay.
Right. And what we had found out during the investigation is apparently in that neighborhood, there was some of that going on a couple weeks to a month prior, that people had reported that, you know, somebody was almost robbed. And so then eventually he never ended up being robbed, but was shot and killed.
And where was this? What location?
This was in Orlando, Florida.
Okay, Orlando. All right. Thank you. I'm sorry for your.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that.
Okay.
So,
all right. Keep going. Okay.
Right. So I was dealing with the health issues. And then shortly thereafter, losing my brother, I actually was in the midst of all this. I was in a master's program for mental health. And so it was almost ironic a little bit that I was learning about grief. I was learning about anxiety and depression, how to counsel people and all the different types of mental health issues. And then here I was in the midst of it, suffering from different issues and trauma. And it took a lot to get out of all of that. It took a lot of healing. It took a lot of work. And yet when I look back, it was all worth it, because now at 31 years old, I'm probably the healthiest I've ever been in my life, and also mentally the healthiest I've ever been. And I really see the world differently. I've changed a lot from all of the suffering and the healing.
Wow. Okay. So can you tell us how you did that?
Sure.
I mean, so that's what, 8 years, 10 years?
Yes, roughly,
yeah.
More or less, somewhere in there.
And did you use what you were learning? I mean, was it too raw? Were you just, I mean, tell us about, how did you heal the health? Obviously, the mental, the grief and all that is one thing. How did you also heal the health? Is that, I'm sure that's part of your story.
Yes. Okay. And I'm going to summarize it for you. And that's what the book is about. Essentially, my book With Me All Along is the journey. I wanted it to be about mental health, and I wanted it to be about physical health and spiritual health, and how they all come together, and how people can heal from a variety of conditions. And that if you heal your emotional traumas, that it affects the body in a positive way. If you heal physically, it affects your mental health. That these things are very much intertwined. They're not separate within our whole being. So that's a lot what the book is about. I would say, if I had to sum it up, it began with having a lot of compassion for myself and what I was going through. And I really was impatient at the beginning. And I talk about that a little bit in the book, thinking to myself, when is this going to be over? When am I going to be healthy again? When am I going to be able to go out into the world and be able to really enjoy life in all of its capacities? And so that first part was self-compassion, is giving myself that love and that grace and saying, you've been through so much and you're doing such a great job in staying afloat, and let's work through this one day at a time, and let's take our time with this. There's no rush. You have the rest of your life, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. how did you I mean, I think, how did you figure that out? Did someone tell you to be, to have more compassion? I mean,
Yes.
I, a lot of times I say I'll do it, but I don't,
Of course.
So how did you actually, A, figure that out, and B, do it?
That for sure was a day by day thing, and I still have a hard time, right? I have days where I'm very compassionate towards myself, and I have days where the self-talk is not ideal, right? We all do. It's a we're a work in progress. Our whole life is doing the work, right? I really believe that. I would say that you cannot do it in isolation. That's one of my biggest tips for people going through struggle or hardship. You cannot do it on your own. I saw a phenomenal therapist when my brother passed away. Ideally, I should have seen that same therapist prior when I was going through the health issues, but it really took my brother's death for me to look in the mirror and say, you really need to talk about all of this. And so I found a wonderful therapist that really held me accountable, but was also very gentle with me. It was the perfect balance. And so getting the help that you need, for some people, that might be finding a special doctor that really validates, listens to you, and has adequate training for whatever unique health issue you're going through. So that was another key piece of my healing is you have to find the right help for you. And it's okay if at the beginning you try a therapist or you try a doctor or whatever practitioner or help a maybe a group therapy session, and it doesn't resonate with you or it doesn't feel right. It's okay to keep searching until you find the right fit. So that was a big part of my healing is getting a lot of people on my team to help me.
Right. Now, what, and that's great to know. I mean, I had a couple of therapists, and one of them, it was like three times and she was out. But you don't, it's hard to, well, with her, it was easy to fire her. But some of the other ones, I probably should have,
Right.
they were
Sure.
making me worse, not better. But you think they know, they're all knowing or something, and you can't do that. So that's great to give people permission. Did you ever, and I don't want to be getting in the middle of your story, but did you ever figure out what the underlying health problems were?
Yes, absolutely. So I found this, not to get off track, but this is definitely a key part of the story, along with, of course, therapy, finding some great medical practitioners. Is I learned a lot in my research because I was researching constantly and learning and more about the body and the mind. I learned that if you have a reaction immune-wise to a certain medication, or we can even have reactions to viruses, bacteria, to trauma, like significant loss, to sexual abuse, to, I mean, you name it, we could create this long list. It has a severe impact on our nervous system. The limbic system, the midbrain. And
What was going, I mean, I can understand after your brother, but what was going on before? Or are you getting to that? And I keep interrupting.
no, you're good. It's a
You can
very
tell patience is not one of my
you're
virtues.
like, what did you do? What's the golden nugget? What's the thing?
No. I'm curious because I know,
Yes.
like, I know that, first you didn't feel well and then your brother passed. So what,
Yes.
okay. All right, keep going.
So,
Sorry.
what I learned in my research is that the medication that I had this severe side effect to, in addition to all the bacteria viral loads, and even stress with college that a lot of college students have, that affects the nervous system and the brain. And the brain is really the control center of everything. So it actually impacts the immune system as well. So if you take something and maybe you have a reaction to it, it can create body-wide inflammation. It can impact the brain, and then you have all this stuff going on. So what I found this was the golden ticket for me, the golden nugget, whatever, however you want to say it. I found this phenomenal program called the Dynamic Neural Retraining System that essentially goes into that midbrain, which is that survival defense system that we all have, that fight or flight, that's where it comes from. It's that midbrain. It goes into the brain when you do this program for anywhere from 6 months to a year to more, and it rehabilitates it. And it's a type of meditation, visualization, cognitive behavioral therapy. It's a combination of things, but it goes into that brain and it rewires it. And when the brain is healthy again, the immune system regulates and you don't have the food allergies. You don't have the chronic fatigue syndrome anymore. And even grief and trauma, you can actually look at it with a clear mind and say, what work do I need to do in therapy? Because your brain is working again. The PTSD, it can even rewire and help with things like that. So you can see the world clearly.
So do you think it was the stress of college that had you had it kick in the first place? Or was there something prior to that that Yeah.
I think it was a combination of things. I did start identifying it about age 18 when I went to college. It was food related. So I come from a family where my mom made all homemade meals for us, for myself and my two brothers. We were always eating together as a family, having these nutrient dense meals. So I went to college, and what do college students do? We just eat whatever's available, soft and chips and maybe salsa, get a little bit of nutrition from the salsa. I'm eating popcorn, I'm eating fast food. I was in a dorm. I didn't have a kitchen. I didn't know how to cook, even if I tried. There's the lack of sleep. You're going out with your friends. You're meeting all these awesome, fun, different people that you've never met before, but you're not sleeping. And then I was taking a lot of classes and I was really thriving in them. I was getting all A's, but it was tiring. And then you have relationship stress too, right? Whether it's something with your roommate that they're coming in at a different hour than you, and so you have confrontation there, or romantic relationship stress, or missing your mom and dad, missing your best friends at home. So I think that's compounding your physical well-being and your mental well-being. I think that was a big piece.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, how does any college kid not get that? Or maybe they do and they don't know, But it might have been, maybe they weren't, if you were eating all home-cooked meals and then, that was, maybe other people were eating crap before they went, so it wasn't as much of a shock on their body. I'm just wondering, how did my kids survive this, right? Anyway, okay, so keep going.
It's such a great question. And actually, for my doctoral program, I did a little bit of research and digging on college students, and that about a third of college students are having mental health issues due to stress. So it can be very common, but I think it happens to the sensitive people, the empaths, the people that are more affected by the moods of those around them, the types of kids that take that on. That's been me my whole life. I've always been the energy in the room. I take it on. I can feel it. I can sense it. I worry about people more than others. Mm-hmm. I'm an introvert, extrovert hybrid. I love people, but they drain me, kind of thing. And so I think that's the missing link too, that is important for people to know, is, are you one of those types of people? You might need to really have a little bit more care for yourself in those categories in order to make sure that you don't burn out quickly.
Wow. I'm going back. I'm thinking about mine because I'm sensitive, but I'm thinking back in college, I probably numb myself with drinking.
Of course,
didn't let it bother me. I'm just wondering, right?
Right. And you know what? I'm sure there are some things from childhood, some genetic to immune things, to just all of it. Like if we could look at our immune health as a baby, did we get sick a lot? I'll even give you a very.
I did.
I'll tell you one thing. When I got my wisdom teeth out, most of my friends, they didn't have an issue. When I got them out, I actually ended up with an abscess, and I was the one that followed all the directions, the doctor's orders, had no complicated surgery, but ended up getting a severe infection. So
did my daughter. My daughter ended up in the hospital.
Wow.
With her whole, it wasn't even an abscess. It was like fast. Her head was out to here. I mean,
oh my gosh.
It was serious. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, back. So go back to that. So you were saying, you did get sick earlier.
I was prone to those things. Even when I got my tonsils out eventually, this was college, because I kept getting sick. I had an abscess. I ended up with an abscess from getting my tonsils out. So I think that some people can have predispositions to just, maybe they don't have as strong of an immune system, or there's probably a lot linked to it, but that I was prone maybe to more infections than others.
So when you, maybe I'm jumping, but when you did this, what is it? Dynamic neuro retraining system.
Yes.
Did it fix all that?
It fixed it all up. I will
get
tell
out of here.
I really haven't been sick much since. I did end up eventually, like all of us, getting COVID. Right at some point, I'm trying to remember when I finally got it, but I really don't get sick very often at all anymore. And it's not anything fancy that I do. I eat very healthy, and I do take a couple supplements, just like anybody else, like multivitamin kind of thing. But it's nothing lifestyle that I do that is different really from anybody else, I would say, right? So exercise that, and eat healthy.
So that process really worked.
Yes.
How did you find it? Who told that? Sounds, I think I need it.
I
want to like go click on it now and start right now.
It's quite incredible. And I didn't think that it was going to work at first. I had read about it. So I'll tell you a little bit of background. So I had tried all the healthy diets that different doctors were telling me to try. And these were wonderful doctors that are, I consider, highly intelligent. And I love all of them to this day, have good relationships with them. And they were scratching their heads looking at me, because I was a good patient. I was doing supplements. I was doing all the healthy diets and treatments. Nothing was shifting this. So I started doing some of my own research, because I love research. Learned a lot about how to do research in my doctoral program. And so I learned a little bit about things like mold or like viruses like Lyme disease, and thought, well, maybe that could be a factor that I'm not considering. I found a summit. It was called a mold summit, toxic mold summit, online, and started listening. And one of the women that was presenting was a woman named Annie Hopper. And she is the one that created the Dynamic Neurotraining System, DNRS. And she talked about how viruses can trigger our, not only our immune system, but actually have an effect on our brain. And we have to rewire it in order for our health to go back to normal.
Wow.
So that's how I learned about it. I was watching this summit and listened to her, and I said, well, I've tried everything else. Might as well give this a shot. And I started it, and I could really very quickly feel that something was changing. Something was changing. And the things
that... Where did you feel it?
Sure. I would say that the first thing that I noticed is I wasn't as tired. That was a big one. I started to not be tired. And the basic tenets, she explains why your immune system isn't working, why you have the food allergies or whatever it is that you have. So I wasn't scared anymore. The fear was a lot less, just because she explained it in a way that made complete sense for what I was going through. So that kind of lightened the body. To have hope that, oh, I listened to all these testimonials, that lightened my body. So I just felt lighter upon starting committing to the program. And the food allergies started getting less. I wouldn't have as severe reactions to things. Those were kind of some of the big things. My skin started clearing up.
And how fast did that work?
I started noticing results from days to weeks, slowly, but it was rather remarkable, considering I'd done so much and hadn't noticed that many shifts from some of the other things.
And is it expensive?
I can't tell you how much it is because I can't remember, but what I will say is when I've shared it with friends and family and even clients, the number was always so reasonable to me. Okay. And you can check it out on the website, their website, but it was always so reasonable to me. They even do groups that I used to do. There were Zoom groups during COVID where they would get people together and they had a leader that had they call him a coach, and they had a lot of knowledge on the topic and would run these groups. And they were about $20 a session for these groups. And so I've always thought that they make it very reasonable for many people. I can't say every single person on the planet, but many people would be able to afford the program. It's very financially feasible, and they have scholarships too. Like I donated recently to the program so that somebody could get a scholarship that maybe they don't have the money for it.
Wow. When I'm just thinking, my nephew had, well, he's married now, but one of his prior girlfriends had an allergic reaction to a vaccine, and her whole body, I mean, she was disabled. Is that something that it could?
Yes.
All right. I gotta let her know. Yeah.
Yes. Those types of reactions from, I actually attended an in-person seminar because I was really involved and really wanting to heal and said, okay, I'm going to commit. I'm going to do this 5-day seminar. This was pre-COVID, of course. And I was able to go in person. And I don't know if they're still doing the in-persons, but everybody around, I mean, it was some type of immune thing, whether it was a virus that triggered it, some type of medication, vaccine that triggered it, to trauma, emotional trauma, psychological trauma that triggered all these different reactions. A lot of people had food issues. A lot of people had chemical issues, meaning if they smelled a candle that was maybe at the mall, they would start having symptoms, or certain laundry detergents, to gasoline, to cigarettes. So that's some of the symptoms as well, to different autoimmune diseases. That was a big commonality among the group too.
And it helped them.
Helped them tremendously. POTS, fibromyalgia. That's
unbelievable.
Huge.
I'm writing down names as you're talking of people who need to do it. Do you use that in your own practice? Or do you refer people to there?
So what I do is I will give people some of the tools that I learned. I definitely utilize it within my practice. But of course, since I'm not a certified practitioner coach, I don't give them the full training. Right. And I wouldn't be a good fit to give them the full training, but I'll give them some maybe tips from the program, some pillars that really were so helpful to me to get them started. And then if they're interested in learning more, then I'll give them, of course, that website. And if they have questions, they can always ask me in session.
Wow.
So I'm an advocate for sure.
Because these poor people with these autoimmunes, I mean.
Yes, it helps
them. Their whole life is about that, you know.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's really a miracle if that system can work. So, wow. Woo. Okay. So, all right. So you found that, and then we got 1 minute. You know what? Let's do the intermission, and then we'll come back and we'll find out more. How's that? Because I don't want to get started and then have to stop. So, all right.
Are you inspired? Are you living a life story you are proud to tell? Are you actively pursuing and creating the life of your dreams? If not, you really need Hillary's AAA program for freedom. Just visit gettingrealwithhillary.com and schedule time with Hillary today.
Has social-emotional learning become just one more thing on your teacher's plates? Do teachers and students both find it boring and ineffective? Then bring Kikori to your school. Kikori transforms classrooms through experiential SEL activities that help students play, reflect, connect, and grow. Even better, students say it's more fun than recess. Schedule a no-obligation conversation at kikoriapp.com/bringkikori. K-I-K-O-R-I.
That's my daughter's company. That's Kikori. Oh, so anyway, I have to get over my quelling that that's her voice. She's in Brazil right now, so I just sent her a picture of the commercial.
That's fantastic. Yeah, it was a beautiful commercial.
Yeah, they do great stuff with kids. So, okay, so back to you. So just to finish your story. So you did this, you signed up and you did that. And then what happened?
And then I started healing. I started healing, and I talk about it a little bit in the book, but things that I didn't know needed to be healed started improving. And that was really interesting.
Like what?
Like joint pain, for example, things that we all have, right? We all have joint pain, right? As we get older, whether it's your hips, your back, your neck, and it wasn't as prominent anymore. And I started thinking, well, that's interesting.
So this is just from reprogramming your midbrain, right?
Yes.
Am I saying it right?
Rehabilitating it, rewiring it.
The whole body. Wow. All right. When can I? I'm ready to start. I'm going to go sign up today. Let's see. I should list all the things and then list. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. So then, but you're still in school. You're getting your master's. Obviously, you got your PhD after.
I did.
Your doctorate.
I,
yeah.
I did.
And it was all in mental health and all of this stuff. Like, how did, tell us how that evolved. Because you got the emotional, physical, and spiritual. Are those the three that you have combined? Do a lot of people combine them? I mean, I'd like to combine them. I don't know how to combine them. Like, how did you put it all together to do that?
I think there are certain practitioners out there that do, but I think there is still a divide. And mm-hmm. I don't think it's from a lack of wanting to. I think it's just a lack of understanding, right? Mm-hmm. People try to stay in their own camps. And really, if it wasn't for my health issues, I think I would have just known about mental health and my training, because I was an undergrad psychology major when I was, the 18 to 22 range. And then, so always knew that I wanted to do more in the mental health field, but it was by accident that I learned more about physical health.
So that mental health, the typical is in the emotional?
Yes.
Like, which box is that? Okay. That's the emotional. Mm-hmm. And then the physical would be like your body and how you physically feel.
Right. The immune system, your energy levels, right. Your digestion.
Okay. So the real body. And then the spiritual,
yes.
How did you get that tied in?
That was through a very large pillar that I've been excited to share with you as well. And it encompasses a lot of different things, and I'll list them off. One thing that people don't consider when they're trying to get healthy is, how healthy are my relationships?
Mm.
They might look at mental health, or they might look at their physical health, but they don't look at, are my relationships healthy? Do I feel loved, supported, cared about unconditionally in a relationship or multiple relationships that I have in my life? That is an outstanding thing that people don't look at. And that can include the people on your team that are getting you healthier, like counselors or doctors. So
wow.
That's part of the spiritual. Spiritual also for me included, because I had been just not feeling well for so long, I forgot how to have fun. That was a big one. I forgot about how to be driven towards a purpose that I felt really connected to, that it lit my soul up. And I said, wow, this is it, right? A lot of people might not have that. And I think that's a big key component of spirituality, is right, connecting to yourself in all those ways. Like, what do I like to do? And what do I feel is meaningful or purposeful? And can I do that? And do I feel loved and connected by people in my life? And then, of course, for some people, it can be religion, higher power. It doesn't have to be, but for some, and for me, it was very meaningful that I had a spiritual connection, right?
And how did you, how did you figure that out? Like, just, it just came to you? Were you reading? Was it part of that program? Like, how did that?
I was raised in a Christian faith. So okay. I had that as kind of a baseline. And then my master's program was a Christian school. So that type of support was always in the background. But when I got sick and then I got better, it's like that relationship transformed a little bit. There was more, I don't know, gratitude.
Which one?
On that, the spiritual relationship.
So with yourself?
With myself and also with God, with a higher.
Oh, okay.
Level. Right there, there's more of a connection there.
Wow.
And a surrendering and a leaning on and knowing that the next step is going to come and it's going to be there and I don't have to push so hard for it, that it's just going to arrive when it's supposed to arrive.
And did that come through the DNRS, like after that it kind of opened you back up to that, would you say?
I would say that when anybody does healing work and they heal maybe some grief, that it can open you back up to like a relationship with God or again, higher power, whatever is meaningful to
person.
That, because there's a lot of anger there, right? Or there's a lot of frustration. Why is this happening to me? Why me? What did I do to deserve this? All of that kind of self-talk. And when you can heal from that, you can look back and say, wow, that made me so much stronger. That made me into the person I am today. And you can see meaning behind it.
Mm.
So that was a big part. And I think there's no way to pinpoint at what time that happened. I think it was a steady progression over those 8 to 9 years.
So you had the mental health going on.
Mm-hmm.
You had the physical going on because mm-hmm. You had the immune, and then you tied in the spiritual with your healing and the church and so then when did you decide to put it all together, or was that just like, did that just evolve? I mean, it's so cool, you know, because usually you find, here, take some pills, right? Just for the physical, they don't ask you questions. I mean, so even merging the physical and the emotional is huge, but then to tie in the spiritual is really, it's really great. So tell me more and I'll try to stop interrupting, but it's so interesting. I can't help it.
It is. I mean, that's why I had to write a book about it, because I just said, wow, I got to get the experience and the thoughts out and put them onto paper. I think what happened for me is I started with the physical route, like a lot of people do. And I was taking the supplements or doing the diet and trying to do whatever exercise programs that was suggested to me. It wasn't working.
Mm.
And these were, and I'm not going to say that it didn't work sometimes. It helped. It was a percentage of the pie, but it wasn't a massive percentage of the pie that a lot of us look for, right? The big results. It wasn't the big results. I could see little things help within the physical body, but people that were suggesting this stuff to me had so much background and research and knowledge. And I said, why the heck isn't this working? This doesn't make sense. I was looking at the study saying this vitamin D supplementation regulates the immune system, vitamin D, all this stuff. And we're both scratching our heads at this point. And so I had to dig deeper and realized there is a very intense emotional component here.
Now, so did the dynamic blah, 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 blah system, is that what helped you with that? Or did something else help you? Or that was part of the grief, you know, when you were in your master's, I guess, going through that? Like, how did you get to the emotional part of it?
Well, when, like I said earlier, I didn't go to therapy when I was going through the physical issues because
Oh,
I
okay.
didn't even make the connection that maybe there's a stress component. But then when my brother died, I said, I can't do this anymore. I need to go to therapy. And I did. And so those emotional layers were peeled back. And
Okay.
then in addition to, I did a grief group. So I was in grief counseling within a group context and was able to talk to others that were going through grief and loss. And to then finding this program, doing some healing through that. And then this is an interesting one. I shared the relationship piece, but meeting my husband when we first started dating and how good he was for me. He's very calm, he's very relaxed, he's laid back. There was my nervous system was really able to just settle in and feel very safe. And I think that's very important for people that are healing, is you have to be in a emotionally safe relationship. And even with your friends, even with parents, your siblings, those relationships need to be safe to some extent emotionally for you to be able to heal at all levels.
Yeah. Sometimes we're not in those same ones.
Of course
But they
not.
seem, talking from experience, unfortunately, they're normal until you get out of them. You
Yes.
know, I had someone actually from work who was very not safe, but I said, well, this is my job and I have to keep her happy and all this kind of stuff. And then when she, whoa, look what I did.
It looks like something went up in smoke behind
This
me.
is my ring light. I know I'm pressing buttons trying to get not so pale, but there's something, it looks like smoke. Right. I'm gonna stop playing with it. Okay. So anyway, when she luckily blew up and got mad and said she was leaving, it was the best day ever. 'Cause like, oh my God, it was so bad for me. And I just explained it as normal. This is my job. I wasn't even aware of it until I didn't have her anymore, like insulting me and oh God. So, you know, I think a lot of times we're not, and that's why my AAA is the first step is awareness. Like until you're aware, and I know you were talking about blind spots, until you're aware, it's just the way life is, you know.
Yes, you think
So.
it's all normal until you realize that, wait a minute, this doesn't feel good for my body. This doesn't feel good for my mind. I feel stressed out. And I want to specify there can be people in your life that they're perfectly good people. This isn't about the quality of the person. I don't want to use the word toxic or not toxic. It can be toxic to you, the relationship, but somebody else, maybe at work, might really get along with the person and it doesn't affect them. But for whatever reason, your personality or just whatever it is, value systems, nerves, that person just doesn't jive with you. And over time, if you don't figure out ways to have boundaries, that can be so damaging to your body and to your mental health. So it doesn't even have to be someone that we would say, oh, they have a narcissistic tendency or a personality disorder. This can just be a person that you just don't have that good vibe with, right? Or you just don't get along with. And that's normal. That's so normal. And it's boundaries.
I think it's hard, and I think it feels like it's personal. Like, for example, let's say someone got rid of one of us because it was a bad vibe. I would wonder what I did wrong, but it might not be that. It might just be a chemistry thing, even with a girlfriend or a, you know, that it just doesn't work. And it's not personal. That makes it sort of easier to deal with.
Exactly. Or maybe they're at a different place in their life than you are. You don't have things in common, or they were raised differently. Maybe you were raised in a really loud house and you love the camaraderie, and they're more introverted and quiet, or they were an only child. So it's these little things, but they can have a big impact. So I think you talk a lot about intuition, Hillary. I think part of that is you listen to your body and you really feel out, okay, who am I moving towards in my life that I love spending time with? And when I'm at work, I'm just like, ooh, let me spend some time with this person. I love sharing with them versus who am I doing this towards? Then I'm moving back a little bit.
Well, no, that was actually one of the questions I was going to ask you. And I think you just described it. It's not, I think for me, I try to think it, but that's not where the intuition is. Intuition is not in your thinking, right? It's in your body almost. Mm-hmm. Would you say, like, how do you know, yes. How do you separate your intuition from your thinking? That was one of the questions I wanted to ask you if it's yes. possible to answer.
We were just talking about how our brain, the cognitive part does all the, not the excuses, but, mm-hmm. They don't like me, or, you know, they
don't want to say wrong. Yeah. It's my fault.
Or we even do it to ourselves. If we don't feel like hanging out with somebody, we start saying, but I don't want to be mean. I don't want them to think that I don't like them, because I do like spending time with them, but I'm just kind of tired today. The body, I personally believe, is where more of the intuition lies, or maybe just in here, where we don't justify. We don't use words. We just simply say, how does it feel when I'm thinking about spending time with this person today? How does that feel? Am I moving towards them? Or would I rather be doing something else? Do I feel a bit of an ickiness or a fatigue when I picture myself spending time with them? That's the intuition feeling. And again, you don't have to justify it. Tomorrow it could change. You could want to do something with that person or see that person at work. It changes day to day too, but you just honor where your body is in that day.
That's so healthy. I mean, I'm like, but you know, it's no. But I think what you just said, well, obviously that this is your profession, but being, you know, like there are sometimes I think, oh God, I don't want to do this, but I should because I said I would, or because I want to be a good person. And it's all that actually,
yes.
Like, I'll tell you what happened. Sunday, I was perfectly fine. And I was trying to design my book cover. I thought I needed to approve it. And I was so, I was stressed out about it. And then I asked for help. And then I got all these different versions of help. And then I got a brand and I got a market and I got to do all these things. And it was like, I went from my head was spinning to my neck just went boom, gone. And it has been painful ever since. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm sick now. Like I just took some Tylenol, which I don't normally take because I wanted to be good for this. But it was like, I wasn't moving. Boom. It went in my body. And I was like, that's amazing. And I stressed myself out. Well, I want to get it done. I want it to be done now. There was no compassion, like what you said. I want to get it done. I want it done. I don't want to have to answer all these questions. Blah, 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 blah. I don't know what the right answer is. Who do I trust? All this thinking. And I don't know. How do you... I guess it's I always compare it to wrestling with an octopus.
Yes.
You know, like you take one arm off and then another one slams you and you're just like stuck in this. Ooh. Mm-hmm. How do you recommend getting out of that? Like, how do you back connect with this doesn't feel very good? Like, you know what I'm saying? That's always a trap that when I get in it, it's hard for me to get out. I don't know if that has anything to do with what we're talking about, but I'm asking because that's where I'm at right now. So
it starts with something simple, just connecting with the body and saying, where's the tension? Where do I feel it? It's kind of using some mindfulness, and that sounds almost overly simplified, but that's kind of step one, is you ask yourself, where am I feeling tension? Is it in my chest, my neck, my back? Where is it living right now? And what is the intensity on a scale of 1 to 10? Is there a color associated with it? And just really tune in. And this sounds so cheesy, and people always laugh when I share this, but you ask that part of you, what message are you trying to relay to me? And you might be surprised. You might want to have a journal handy. You might be surprised what comes up.
That's great.
Wow. So it starts there, is just if you can, because I think the octopus comes from the cognitive.
Yes.
All the thoughts, I should be doing this. I got to pick out the cover, the marketing, all the stuff for the book. And but if you go back into your body, the octopus kind of, you almost can take it off and you put it on the shelf
right
in your body
yeah. for
and
wow.
permission to be present, and then say, okay, I'm clearly feeling overwhelmed. Now, what action do I need to take for myself to give myself self-love, even if you have 10 minutes? Do I need to go on a walk outside? Do I need a cup of tea? Do I need to call a friend? Do I need to just sit in the silence? What do I need, a snack? Do I need to put on a funny YouTube video and get out of my head? So I think that's the step two, is what compassion can I show myself today? What's some self-love that I can give myself? Because clearly I need a little bit.
Well, it's funny, when my kids were little and they had something hurt, I would do those questions. How big is it? Is it an ocean or a bathtub? And they, and we just had fun with it. And they did forget, but I haven't used it on myself. So yeah, they obviously, they would start laughing because I would ask them crazy questions and they got so distracted. So yeah, that's a great idea.
You definitely have the tools.
Yeah.
Sure then.
Just, when it's yourself, you forget them, you know?
I know. So true. Yeah.
Wow. Well, we got just a few minutes left. This has been, I have loved this. I can't wait to finish the rest of your book. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that will be interested, A, in your book, and B, I don't know, you know, if they can work with you. You're down in Florida. Do you work with people who are in all parts of the country? Do they have to be local to you? Is that, you know, what would you want to share with people?
Sure. I do offer some Zoom sessions. My license is in Florida. So in terms of practicing counseling, the person would need to be located in Florida, but I see people that are in different parts of Florida and do offer virtual. But if somebody wants some type of consultation, more information, type of maybe health or wellness information, then those types of calls are available too, but it wouldn't be counseling.
Right.
That makes sense, but it would be maybe talking about my journey or hearing about their journey, offering suggestions based on things I talk about in the book or otherwise.
Okay. And where can they, how do they reach you and how do they find your book?
So my book is available really everywhere on online retailers, books, things like Amazon, Target.com, Barnes & Noble, and really most of those types of sites that sell books will have my book for purchase online. And then I have a website.
It's called With Me All Along. And how would they look you up? Katie Basso or Catherine?
Katie, they'll find me either way, but under my Psychology Today profile, it is Katie Basso. Okay. And on my website, I have a website called katiebosso.com.
So okay. They can KATYBOSSO. Okay. Just so they know. Okay. Awesome. Anything else you'd like to let people know? This has been fascinating for me.
I would say just one other quick thing, that on my website, I'm starting to write a couple blogs here and there. I want to ideally do once a month. The last one I did was on the holidays and grief and how it can be hard after you've lost a loved one to still celebrate the holidays. So if they're interested in just learning more about mental health and things involved with the book and physical health, that I'm going to be posting more blogs throughout the year, maybe, like I said, once a month, if they just want some more free information.
Okay. All right. Well, I know so many people that I'm going to share this with, because either the autoimmune or something, I know. So thank you for putting the three together. Thank you for writing the book so that people can learn. And thank you for your time. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Hillary. Thanks for having me. I had such a great time.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to the Getting Real with Hillary show. We hope you were entertained and inspired. Please subscribe to Hillary's newsletter. Go to gettingrealwithhillary.com for more freedom techniques and fantastic stories and links to other great stuff. And don't forget to tune in every week on Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on BBS Radio TV. And let's get real. Let's get connected. Let's get inspired and create that life you love.